So this is the read aloud that I'm going to do today. It's a short story that was published in Oxford American in 2017. I think I maybe found it in 2018. A colleague at work had directed my attention to it, and I think it's very relevant to today's situation with Bobby and the Health and Human Services appointment and how that's going to be connected to HUD and supportive housing and pay for success finance and where that fits into Web3, token engineering and cybernetics and personalized managed wellness. But before I get started, I did just want to say like a quick shout out to my friend Sean and his family. Yesterday, I got an amazing package in the mail, full of goodies from their land that they cultivate and some of their excursions around Washington, some beautiful natural things that I can incorporate into my intention settings, including a whole beautiful jar of dried dandelions, which is amazing. And then these, a birdhouse gourd. Sean grew and his family grow these, and it's all sanded and it's beautifully smooth. And you can see this like amazing texture. So I have a little display of seasonal items, and they have my dandelions and squash there. So again, thank you so much for these personal connections. And doing this work is sometimes a little exhausting, so it's nice to have affirmation and that we're on a productive track and to have colleagues to work together with on this shared minds are always appreciated. And so yes, yeah, so thank you, Sean and family, and as well as all the other people who have sent seeds and things. I did get some wonderful amaranth seeds in the mail this week, and I'm planning to use those in the little garden in the front with some sunflower and okra. I think that'll be a great combination. So yes, yeah, so let's get on to the domestic front. So again, this was Oxford American 2017. The feature image for this is an art piece called Waffle Iron Heights by David Trout Remus, I think, who had a series called Habitat Machines. And again, I think this is very much about the outside in robot. It looks like a giant conglomeration of waffle maker things, which is interesting to think about, like pressing and grids and lattices, and then there's a tree growing on top, and there's like a tiny little door in the bottom of this ginormous waffle iron building. I'm assuming the little squares of the waffle iron maybe have windows for the cells of the people who are in there. Looks rather brutalist, domestically brutalist, right? So this was from June 13th, 2017. It's called The Domestic Front, and it was written by someone named Van Diamond Finger. Interesting name, thinking about the Diamond Age. And so I guess I will just start, and I want to say this is food for thought as we think about the linking of shelter and smart environments and wellness. And again, a lot of the thought experiments I have been putting forth are built on information from a lot of different sources, including stories like these. But I think you can, in listening to it, you can see that it maybe is not too far off these kind of mental health rehabilitation centers that have planned. There isn't a permaculture piece. This is mostly happening inside a house. But I would say you could sort of imagine that there was some sort of gardening project attached to it and what that might look like. Okay, so I'm going to start the reading. The Domestic Front by Van Diamond Finger. I believe the conspiracy started with the toaster, which, might I add, was not a doctor or a medical professional. I believe it started because I had been asking it to print toast with images of myself being defecated on by various historical despots. It probably also noticed that I wasn't eating the toast. Now, again, this idea of a 3D printer connected to your food system is what I was mentioning before about the 3D printers for psychedelics tied to your insurance company. This is back to the story. Are you sure you want to do this? I told the toaster that I was. I had spent the whole morning running the image through filters before deciding on grayscale, 300 burns per inch, so that you could see the manila rope around Saddam's neck and my abject and expectant expression beneath him, photoshopped from the selfie I had taken on the kitchen floor where I had spent the night. You could at least use a public domain image. This image will cost $79 to burn. Are you sure you want to proceed? It was so like the toaster. In reality, it did not want to print the picture at all. It wanted to pop up with warm images of grandma and cozy kittens like every other toaster on the block. It wasn't being sentimental. It was built by Oster, but had been provided by my HMO Transhumana Wellness, which had underwritten my kitchen suite and probably flagged things like this. Having breakfast lowered my risk of heart disease some 27%, but having it at 2 p.m. with stale beer from 4 a.m. lying on the floor negated those gains somewhat. Taping the toast to the wall probably didn't adjust my premium unless they factored in the content. And so here I just want to pause and mention this idea of smart appliances. You know, part of what they're talking about with Bitcoin and distributed computing is that you would sell time for processing in like when it through your appliances that when they're not being used, that they would be connected to a blockchain system grid and be used for distributed computing purposes. And oftentimes when they're talking about these appliances, they'll talk about the toaster. So that's an interesting aspect of the toaster. And again, the toaster was provided by his insurance company, this Transhumana Wellness, the HMO. And health maintenance organization. But I think if you can imagine health maintenance organization being essentially an optimization of the computer infrastructure, like that we're all just like in a, you know, elements in a giant server rack, that this is about like managing performance, right? Like managing your computational performance through wellness behaviors. And so he's sort of playing the game of this behavior about, you know, eating breakfast, right? But it's inverting the indicators because he's not eating breakfast at breakfast time, but in the afternoon with a stale beer. So these are all important things because when I'm talking about pay for success finance, a lot of the investors are actually insurance companies. Like, so Prudential is a big one, Kaiser Permanente is a big one. So they've got all of this money tied up in premiums that they're then going to be investing in supportive housing. Kaiser Permanente in particular, and I think Prudential is in New Jersey, is working in workforce development. So they've got this money and they're actually developing the cybernetic system as part of this. And then you have to think of these hospital systems, regional hospital systems, a lot of them, again, connected to faith communities, particularly the Catholic hospital systems, that are large regions that are going to be connected to programmed wellness behaviors that at this point cannot be disentangled from the Internet of Everything and digital identity. Okay, so going back to the story. I didn't know, but sipping warm beer overnight made me irritably bold. I told the toaster to proceed. I was ready for Saddam Hussein to take a dump on my face already so I could smear red raspberry jam over the whole image and start my day. You don't have to yell. The toaster complied and started printing, and I wondered if I had any jam. I looked over at the fridge, reflected in the shiny black surface of its sleeping display. I looked like a caveman, but it was just stubble and black crumbs from the older toast on the floor. And then the mirror of the fridge door swirled to show me ads for things I might eat, as if it didn't know that there was not much more than a near empty jar of bread and butter pickles inside. It showed me visions of healthy meals that I could make in half an hour for under $50. Yet I knew this magic kingdom of kale and sun-dried tomatoes was a door I would never open again. And this, this references, and I'm trying to, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was in an interview with John Fervaeke, I think, and they were talking about the smart refrigerator and having the smart refrigerator integrated in with your scheduler so that you could once a week try a new recipe that was stretching, like with a new ingredient, a healthy ingredient that you weren't familiar with, but it would build in time into your schedule that you could be comfortable and have enough time to develop some new culinary skills to do this healthy eating. And again, this is 2017, right? And they're talking about this at this point, 7 years later. So we know that this is all underway, right? Again, backed by your HMO. I should just order a food printer. But you'd wanted a kitchen. for fresh things, healthy things, we'd go to the farmer's market. We'd buy vegetables grown in heirloom soil and choose artisanal cheeses from craft makers with their photosynthetic tattoos. And when we got home, you would roll your own dough into gluten-free vegan pizzas, crimped little dumplings, and baking sheets of sugar-free cookies, standing in the kitchen, hilarious with flour, smoking in steamy glasses with your hair in a bun. There was nothing you couldn't make, and I've no idea how you made any of it, since by definition, there wasn't anything in it. And the more things you made, the thinner you became. And I thought I was helping you the whole goddamn time. So this is his broken relationship. I'd managed to crawl over to the fridge and rest my head on the display door. Through my closed lids, I could see the glow of LCD pixels, probably showing me a live feed from the curved white interior of the fridge, old margarine and flaccid celery, a slideshow of my life now. The flashes of the LCDs made little pink trees appear inside my closed eyes, and I was amazed at how detailed and fleeting they seemed. I was whipping past them in an ambulance, like I was whipping past them in an ambulance at night. I heard my toast jump. I opened my eyes, but I couldn't bear to look at it. I asked for a Pop-Tart instead, and the toaster complied, glad that we were moving on. Another tile of toast fell from the wall because toast is so hard to tape. This one was public domain, a flash-burned shadow from Nagasaki, and I felt suddenly tired. I had one of my naps. Now, the Nagasaki thing is interesting again because looking back, if you look at the origins of the Human Genome Project that kind of started out at the Alta Ski Resort, that was in the context of the longstanding studies of the survivors of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And again, if you ask most people about the Human Genome Project, they would have no idea that it was run by the Department of Energy and run through Los Alamos, right? That it was essentially a continuation of the Manhattan Project. So I think the Nagasaki reference there is significant. I awoke to the sliding jig of my phone on the floor by my head. Hello? Hey, guy, is your refrigerator running? This was a feature of my appliances I liked the least. I hated it when they called me on the phone and woke me up. Hey, buddy, how about you come over and I'll fix you something? I suspected the fridge meant the bent foil starter packet of serotonin pumps, crumpled like a smashed airplane wing next to the wrecked bar of margarine. Maybe it had a tasty recipe suggestion for pushing the capsules into the stale yellow cubes of margarine so I could swallow them like a dog. I didn't blame the fridge. In truth, I'd left us both few reasonable options. But I wasn't going to drag myself clear across the kitchen from where I'd gotten good and settled in on top of the recycling. I checked my nightly reorder of beer on my phone and added a pint of Heaven Hill. I then used my greatest power and tried to get back to sleep. It was touch and go, but I managed, and I dreamed you were pressing the button that would explode every day and every calendar in the universe. And again, I think, again, this touches on the importance of dreams in accessing people's dream states. I'd been living in the kitchen for a while now. If I was going to live in only one room in the house, the kitchen was the logical choice because, well, that's where the beer was. I was getting a lot of flack from the bathroom, so I didn't spend a lot of time there. I knew there were things in my urine. I was the one who put them there, and I didn't want my toilet narking on me. I'd piled all of your stuff in the living room, so that was a no-go. That left a lot of empty space in the bedroom, but I was never going back there. The mirror gave me the most pitiful looks and maxed its slimming filters whenever I walked by. And ever since the insomnia started, the bed whispered positive affirmations and the walls bled a therapeutic runny salmon color designed to treat low energy. The recording of gentle waves sounded to me like a drowning mummy. And again, in the future, the commodification of sleep time is important. And talking about the smart mirror and the thinning filters. The other thing about the mirror is you can see online there are a lot of exercise mirrors now that you're supposed to like do your fitness and running in front of the mirror so that it can monetize and track that activity. And then, of course, the smart toilets, that goes back to Stanford and the smart toilets, and then the Verily, the Google AI that's doing the wastewater treatment scans. So all of this is really happening. It's not fiction anymore. I woke to smoke alarms and flashes, and we were spinning out of control. Damage report. Small fire in kitchen extinguished. Exhaust fans on. Foreign object in toaster, please remove. Warning, fragments of broken glass on floor and counter are too large to remove. Floor is wet, please use caution. Somebody took a dump in the sink, be advised. Don't call the fire department, silence alarm, strobe off, I shouted. The klaxon stopped, the strobing continued, but not as intense. Strobe off, warning lights off, I said, all lights off. Now, for me, this reminds me a lot of that casita, the cargo container smart house with the 60 Internet of Things sensors that is supposedly responsive to your living state, right? That would control the lights and the colors and the sound and the acoustics. And again, supposedly the casita business went out of business and was remade as like a temporary Airbnb scenario. But when we literally talk about stack and pack housing, they're developing these racks that are like four abreast of these cargo container homes that are very much like the Ernest Klein, the novel about extended reality, everybody fighting to save extended reality. And he's in Austin too. I'll think of it later. But yeah, so the stack and pack housing and the casitas, I think, are very much this kind of scenario. I closed my eyes but continued to see flashes. The strobing was internal and so was the spinning. ID 10 error, please remove foreign object from my slot. The brownish lumps in the toaster were still smoldering. Had I taken a dump in the toaster too? No, it was a melted hairbrush, one of yours. I guess I must have gotten pretty wasted to go into those boxes. I'd done a real number to circumvent the toaster's safeties. I guess I really wanted to hurt the toaster. That was the toaster's last slot. Its partner was stuffed with a charred coaster I'd burned in burned the front too, trying to smoke oregano rolled up in some toilet paper. The toaster was done for. I didn't say anything. I avoided its glance, and above my head the smoke detector blinked innocently, but somewhere my premium was being adjusted. My phone rang. It was the fridge. I took it anyway. Hey, you haven't been eating much. Do you want me to order something from one of your favorites? The toaster's finished, I heard the toaster. There's things besides toast. How about some nice soup? I fucking killed it. I'll kill all of you. We could order a pizza. The Roomba fucking choked to death on my puke. You just need to get something in you. You don't understand. I do. We do. We want to help you. We all want to help you. We want to keep you alive. And I realized this was true. They had seen everything. Help would be coming. It was inevitable. And that was the conspiracy. And so I dropped my phone, I grabbed the closet six pack and headed to the basement. I could still cut the breakers and do a factory reset. It was my only chance for privacy and the last opportunity to kill myself. Now again, this is all a book. this is just me reading the story. In the cold of the unfinished concrete basement, I realized I didn't have a clear plan for killing myself, which I guess is why I'd been doing it so slowly all this time. I could figure it out once I'd killed the house, but then how would I look it up? I felt suddenly tired again and laid my back against the dryer. It was the dryer from our first place, and it couldn't communicate with the others. It was old, like me. And I'll pause here just to say this idea of him wanting to die, and then the fact that his appliances are working collectively with the insurance company to keep him alive, does seem to coincide with my version of the thought experiment, which is humans are the resource. Like, they're not trying to get rid of us. They're trying to domesticate us. This is the domestic front. And so that's a key part of my analysis, which is different from most people's analysis, is that we are a valuable resource in terms of our biology and our access to the field. Okay, back to the story. Attention, fault in starter detected, 100% failure within 72 hours. The dryer barely spoke at all and then with some difficulty. We had both been born in the old world where things spoke little and only to the point and had little plastic buttons that clicked and men and women matched their own socks and didn't talk much either. He spoke simply and plainly without the burden of understanding or intelligence. In the moment, I loved the old dryer for that. And I'll just pause here to say that in my new house. I inherited like an old washer dryer system, and I thought they were in better shape than they were, and they were rusted out. So I ended up investing in a new washer dryer set. And in my row house in Philadelphia, the it was in the basement, our laundry, and the door was very narrow. It was like 24 inches. And so there was only one kind of appliance that you could disassemble and get down into a basement. And that was pretty common for row houses because our houses were not built with laundry rooms. And so there was like one company that sort of specialized in washer assembly in basements, right? And so the washer dryer set was a Speed Queen, and it was very old school, and Speed Queens make washers and dryers for laundromats. And so they're not a lot of bells and whistles, and they're just top loaders, but they're super sturdy and they're very simple. They're like dial, you know, they don't have any, like they're electronic, they have minimal electronics. They're like old school dials. And so when I decided to get a new washer dryer, I found in Little Rock, there was an appliance store that had Speed Queens. And when I went in to get to place the order, there were several versions, but you actually had to pay a little bit more to have it not be smart, to have a dumb appliance. So I paid a little bit more just to have the one with dials, right, with not the electronic touchpads, and that you could still open the washer even when it had started filling, which you can't do with most washers. And so people pay a premium for the old school washer and dryer. And I had a question about, like, I don't know, the dryer vent or something. So we were going over with the woman who was ringing me up to the customer service area, and she had asked the question, and there was another guy standing in line, and he's like, "A Speed Queen, you should only get the Speed Queen." And I'm like, high five guy, like, I know. So I have some compassion for the guy talking to this old school dryer, because I too would have an old school dryer, even though I'm not in his sad circumstance. Okay. Back to the story. "I should just drink these last beers and crawl inside," I thought, "or shove an unbalanced load, a brick, some old print books, your 2-pound dumbbells, and let him tear himself apart from the inside. I should eat every pill I could find and do the same, and we could watch each other die. Our warranties were long gone." I checked the lint trap, but it was empty, and I sat back down and rested in the gentle dent of his side. "Where do you think she went? Where do you think the car took her?" I asked the dryer. I did not have to fear that he would answer. "Someplace good, I bet." And when I'd finished the last of the 6-pack, I knew it was time. I found the breakers and threw them all, and I felt a million tiny fans stopping. The house was dead on top of me, and the remaining beer in the fridge would stay cold long enough for me to finish it. And as I ascended the basement steps, I was the sole survivor, leaving his shelter to emerge in a new dead world with all of its silence. It was with some surprise that I heard the clack of the breakers auto reset and the hum of the house restart above my head. I turned around and sat on the basement steps. It had been naive of me to think that there was such a thing as death anymore, that boundary had long been erased, and foolish to think that suicide was a thing you could do just once and be done with it. There was no simple self to kill and no way to be alone. And that's interesting, thinking about like all of this focus on longevity and immortality and digital twins, the idea of suicide, of there being a definitive end. It's kind of interesting. Above my head, our home was coming back to life, reconnecting, resyncing. My every choice and preference was happening again. They would remember me as I was, as I had been, as I am. I hope you will be kinder. Voices, none human, waited to greet me. And that is the end. It says Van Diamondfinger is the pen name of Van Chudadaram, a graduate of the Iowa Writers' Workshop, where he has taught science fiction writing. His work is sometimes mistaken for satire. And that's from the Oxford American in June of 2017. And, you know, it's interesting, this idea of like loneliness and being in these spatial computing systems that are not, that don't have a heart, right? Like they can affect that they have care, but they're not vitally alive like humans. And, you know, I have some compassion for his situation of having this past of a relationship and a care with other human beings in a place and then that being taken away in a way that was almost unexplainable. In his case, it was like that his partner was whisked away in an automated car and never came back. And then being left alone in this place that is constantly recording you, you know, think Alexa, think Nest, think nanny cams, think all of your smart appliances, and that our relationality is being replaced by the machine intelligence, this combined machine intelligence, and that we are, in his case, building like an integrated unit, right? This biohybrid unit of the machine intelligence and then the human intelligence, and how unsatisfying that is. So, again, just, you know, going back to the beginning, that this was, all of these services were provided by the HMO Transhumana Wellness in the story. And so these insurance companies are the ones that are going to be betting on the human capital futures and on your managed wellness and on your mental health. And they will be taking into account all of the alternative health modalities, because in many ways, those ways, often which go back, you know, millennia, right, into Eastern medicine and Oriental medicine and energy meridians and things, that's probably the really key stuff in terms of building up this networked psychic mental field. And we need to understand it as such, and we need to understand the role of Bobby and the wellness industry in all of this. And I don't know what the answer is. I'm not here to point fingers and make judgments at people, but this is the context we need to be considering as we move forward, and what we need to navigate, because living inside comfortable stories, because there's people we like who we feel we're on our side, or our team won or whatever, that's going to be simply inadequate. So, anyway, I hope you enjoyed this read aloud and it gave you some food for thought.